This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, and it's a pleasure to have you on our radio Main Street all across North Dakota this time of day. Of course, we're getting close to the end of the school term. Summer vacation is looming in about another month for lots of North Dakota school kids. And we're going to talk about a program that helps sustain some kids and their families through the summer. It is the Summer Food Service Program. And we're going to talk about it with Linda Schlaer. She's the Director of Child Nutrition Programs for the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction. She joins us from our studio in Bismarck. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
Let's get the basics here. How big is this program?
In North Dakota, we have about 40 sponsors and about 100 sites statewide.
So when you say 40 sponsors and 100 sites, how many kids are being served?
For the whole year last year, we had about 95,000 breakfasts and about 175,000 lunches.
Wow.
It varies day to day.
Okay. So how does it work? How is the food distributed? How do people qualify and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the Summer Food Service Program is for low-income areas. So first of all, to be a sponsor, you have to serve an area where it's predominantly low-income households. And the sponsors then set up sites. And those sites also have to be in low-income areas to serve the low-income students, because the purpose of the program is to provide meals to students who are receiving free or reduced price meals during the school year, during the summer where they don't have access to their school meals.
So these aren't vouchers. These are actual meals. This is a central location where kids assemble to have the meal?
That's right. That's right. So the sponsors set up the sites, and then the sites prepare the meals and then may serve one meal or two meals every day. And at that time, then they advertise to the community so the kids know where and when they can go to get their meals.
So tell us about the sponsors. How does somebody become a sponsor, and what is the role of the sponsor?
The role of the sponsor is to basically operate that program. They coordinate setting up the sites. They make sure they have staff on hand, training. They take care of the financial aspects, pay the bills, receive the reimbursement, the money that they receive for the meals that they serve. They're kind of like the CEO of the program.
So how is this ultimately funded? Is this some of this government subsidized?
It's fully funded by the federal government under the United States Department of Agriculture. There is no state money that goes into the program. However, there may be local money that goes into the program. Plus, there's quite a bit of fundraising, like United Way does support the program in some areas as well.
Where does the food come from?
Well, the sponsors coordinate with the sites, and usually the food is prepared right at the sites. We do have many sites that are located in parks. So in that case, the food is prepared at a centralized kitchen, boxed up, packaged up, and then taken to the parks or other locations where it's being served.
So you've got 40 sponsors around the state of North Dakota, about 100 sites. Are there places that you need a site?
We really have problems getting sites in some of our rural areas, and that's because it's a low population. Of course, transportation is a problem, because in these rural areas, if they would have a site at a school, how do you get the kids from all those rural areas in the surrounding area to that school, at that set time to eat? So we do struggle getting our sites in some of our low-income rural areas.
So are there specific areas you'd like people to be aware of that you might need some sponsor support and some assistance?
Western North Dakota is really a problem.
Okay. How important is food support to these kids, to the educational mission of the Department of Public Instruction?
Well, you've heard this many times, that a child that is hungry can't learn. And that is it's the basics of survival. And, during the summer, certainly those kids aren't going to school, but they still, they need to eat. Many times these children have working parents, and so they're home probably taking care of other siblings or being taken care of by siblings. They don't have access to meal preparation, and if they do, the food they do have access to is probably sub, you know, subnutritional. And so to have access to a place where they could go and have a meal, see their friends, maybe have some activities, it really kind of gives them something to do during the day other than sit in front of a screen.
Okay. Well, what kind of guidelines do you give the sponsors who are providing the meals?
Okay. So the meals have to it depends on what meal type it is, of course. But for lunch, it has to provide some type of a meat alternate, a bread or grain, a fruit or vegetable, and milk. And then breakfast is the same, only the meat alternate is not required. There has to be milk, some type of fruit or vegetable, and then a grain.
So you mentioned that you served something like 95,000 breakfasts last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's any guesstimate of how many kids that is for several breakfasts, you know, that kind of thing?
Oh, I not off the top of my head.
Assuming that some kids would probably be there every day, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes, yes. And our breakfast count went up 25% last year from the year before. Which I think is remarkable. And the reason it went up is because it was actually being offered. So if you have food and you have a place where kids can go to eat, they will be there.
Well, how do you get the word out?
We do a lot of outreach. We send out information on our DPI website. The sponsors all are responsible for notifying their communities and their kids that have the option of participating. So there's a lot of outreach going on at this time right now. They also try to do outreach like through the churches, through church bulletins, libraries. Sometimes they post things at grocery stores. There is an online, it's called the 211 network.
Yes.
Where people can, you know, text 211, and there's I believe, the mobile app that they can download and get information about the program and what's available in their area through that.
So there are lots of different ways you try to get the word out there.
Right. It's very important to make sure, you know, you can do whatever you want by setting up these meal sites, but you have to get that word out. We're finding that social media is extremely successful for getting the word out. If you can have a couple of parents put it on their Facebook page or on Twitter feed, then it just kind of blossoms.
Now, do you think that this 25% increase in just one year that you saw last year is a reflection of getting the word out or is the need expanding?
I think it's getting the word out. I mean, the need is pretty stable here in North Dakota. We don't have a lot more children who are considered to be low income this year than any other year. But we have more sponsors, and our sponsors are kind of veterans. So they are learning as they continue to grow their own programs. We have a lot more sites, particularly in the eastern part of the state. The Fargo, West Fargo area has just, kind of really exploded for providing new sites, new locations, new opportunities for those kids to get, where it's closer to where those children live also.
Now, to be a sponsor, and you've mentioned that there's a wide variety of options for people who can be sponsors, what is the core commitment that needs to be made?
Well, they have to, first of all, be either a public school or a public organization such as a university. They can be a private nonprofit. We do have some parks and recs programs. We do have universities, like I said. I guess the main thing is they have to fall under some type of a umbrella organization. It couldn't just be, somebody off the street saying they want to be a sponsor.
So do you have to go – you mentioned Western North Dakota has a need for this. Is that an area you kind of go out to recruit to, or are you trying to get some – more support there?
Yes, we are. We every year we do some outreach. We send letters and information out to our private nonprofits in all areas in North Dakota where there's potential sites, because of course these sites have to be in low-income areas. And then we get some questions, and we've had, some interest, and then when they find out about some of the commitments, or they look at the logistics. So many times it's just, how are we going to get these kids here? Because it is congregate feeding. You can't have people come and pick up a meal and take it away. They, you know, there's some requirements with that. So I guess our outreach in the western part of the state, we have worked somewhat with the YMCAs. The libraries are another area where we've done some outreach to.
How about oversight or review? I mean, are you traveling the state and kind of looking at these programs as they're happening?
Yes, we are. We have to review at least one-third of the programs every year. The programs that receive the largest amount of reimbursement for the meals, the programs that serve the largest number of meals, get reviewed more often. But we, you know, like I said, we have programs, many programs on the eastern part of the state, on the western part of the state. And they all operate between June and some go into August, but majority of our reviews have to be done towards in the month of June. So it's kind of a big lift for that month for getting things done.
Now, in many of these cases, would these kids be sort of going to the same school lunchroom they go to during the school year?
That's right.
So they're familiar with the place. They're familiar with how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't all these kids be from families that would, for the most part, qualify for food stamps?
Well, they're in areas where there's a large number of families that qualify, not for food stamps, but more for free or reduced price meals at schools.
Okay.
That's what we look at for determining low-income areas. We also look at census eligibility, but census eligibility is also based on number of kids eligible for free or reduced price meals. So it all boils down to that. But anybody can operate or participate. So if there's a site that's open in a neighborhood, in a community, anybody who wants to go and participate in the program can go. It's not the kids who go there do not have to prove that they are eligible for free reduced price meals or a low income. It's open to anybody who wants to come in participate.
Now, can these sponsoring organizations, if they have these relationships, work with a food bank?
Yes, and we actually have many of our sponsors that, the Great Plains Food Bank is a sponsor of several sites throughout the state.
So that's one way to access that. Is there planning in the future for maybe leveraging community gardens, things like that, other sources of nutrition?
There really hasn't been much conversation about that yet. However, through USDA, we have a program called Farm to Plate. It used to be Farm to School. Now it's called more like Farm to Plate. So there's always opportunities where we can promote using local foods and using planning menus that utilize what's available during the season.
Okay. So if you were to speak to the state, and you are right now, about the needs, the goals, the aspirations of the child nutrition program for the Department of Public Instruction, how would you lay that out?
Well, the summer food service program is very important to our state, to the children in our state, because so many children don't have access to those nutritious meals during the summer, especially in low-income areas. Our communities and our sponsors that operate the summer food service program have really taken upon themselves to make sure that the program is available to as many kids as possible. And, our job is to just help those sponsors do what they want to do and need to do and to meet the requirements of the program.
Well, you mentioned that the last year there was that big uptick in participation. What do you think the ultimate capacity of this program is? Have you factored that out? I mean, from 95,000 breakfasts to 150,000 or something like that?
We actually haven't looked at that. I think it's a matter of sitting down and really looking at where the pockets of need are yet and the number of children in that area, and then looking at the average participation. Certainly there is still room for growth. We see growth every single year, and I don't know.
To be determined.
To be determined. I'm sure when we talk to you next year, if we have the opportunity, we will have new numbers and higher numbers.
Well, we are looking at a number of options for feeding people in our state. We're working as Prairie Public with the Creating a Hunger-Free North Dakota Coalition, and this is just one of the themes that we're going to touch on every month through September of this year. So we want to thank you, Linda, for spending some time with us today.
You're welcome.
Linda Schlaer is the Director of Child Nutrition Programs for the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction.